the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrandtHanson.com.
Question, how do you feel about grown men and whining?
Not a fan.
Really?
Not a fan.
Oh, rats, because I'm going to start whining.
Okay, good. Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's see. I got this going. I just got
that
back.
Helps.
It was an awesome trip. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But just got back from Uganda, and it started with a... Imagine this ride, okay? This trip.
Okay.
6-hour truck ride. Mm-hmm. Bumpy. 6 hours.
Got it.
To get to the airport. Then a 6-hour flight. Mm-hmm. 6-hour flight.
Yeah.
And then a delay, or no, a layover, and then a 16-hour flight.
Mm-hmm.
And then a 1-hour car ride. A 16-hour flight after 12 hours.
Got it.
All right. So, anyway,
what do you want me to?
I guess some sympathy. Just like,
well, I mean,
wow.
You're going to Uganda, so it wasn't as if you were going to, you know, Lubbock.
Yeah.
So you knew that was. There was going to be some travel involved, and it would be extensive because you are.
See, this isn't helpful. when a man whines, he wants. Oh, you poor. That was really tough of you that you even made it work.
Sorry.
You're so strong. I haven't had a chance to talk about this, but with the passing of Aretha Franklin, can you describe for somebody who grew up in gospel music and grew up with obviously different background from me?
Mm-hmm.
My whole town was all about country music.
Right.
And heavy metal.
Uh-huh.
So Aretha did not even dabble.
No, she didn't. Not really, no.
Her impact on music in general, can you describe that? I mean, you come from a family of performers, singers, and like...
Well, it wasn't just her talent as far as singing, playing for herself, playing the piano for herself, all of that. It was her ability to own a room.
Uh-huh.
And that's really, really important in gospel music and R&B. It's not just that I'm singing. It's that I am taking you. I know exactly where I'm taking you vocally. I'm going here. I'm taking you up here. It's like almost like a roller coaster. Like I know what I'm doing. And she knew what she was doing, how she held the audience in the palm of her hand.
So she's just a consummate performer.
Oh, my goodness. And that is a legacy of the African American gospel churches, that when you get up there, it's not just about singing. You're taking that audience somewhere.
Don't waste our time.
Nope. Yeah, I hate to say. True,
you know,
she knew how to do it.
So Sherry had me in her play, and it was a musical.
Mm-hmm.
And she had me, believe it or not, on stage in front of 1,200 people.
15.
And I was singing Aretha Franklin.
Yes, you were.
That was, if case you're like, that is not your idiom at all. You're absolutely right.
You did the sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me. So.
And if you want to hear it, do you?
Yes, you want to hear it.
Here's
and you want to see it.
Here's my part. Sock it to me, 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 sock it to me. No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what that was.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
It's worth seeing.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. There you go.
Yeah,
pretty good. I own the room too. You heard it. You know how it is. You go through something, you're like, why did I have to go through this? Why this problem? Why am I struggling with this? Why my child have this health issue, for instance? And I just met a mom, and she's from a very successful family, and she's kind of glamorous, and she had a daughter who had hydrocephalus. So that's been a real learning thing. She saw her child's head start to expand and grow. That's what hydrocephalus is. The water starts to build up on the brain. It can be fatal, but it gets treated in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so her daughter now looks very different.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a sweet little 3-year-old. Anyway, it's great to meet her. She went to Uganda with us because in Uganda, there's a hospital there, the Cure Hospital, that treats kids that have that. But she really didn't know why. Her husband said, hey, you should go check this out. They heard about it. She was curious about, but what can I do? You know, I'm not a doctor. She's on this trip. As soon as she started telling moms, now these moms come from all over Africa, and they've got kids with giant heads, and they don't know what's going on. They've been told their kids are monsters and freaks. So this lady from Atlanta shows up with our group, and I mean to tell you, they were riveted by her. As soon as she said through an interpreter, like, I've had one of these babies too. She shows pictures.
Yeah.
And again, they're looking at her like she's a glamorous American. Like, you can't possibly be cursed like we're cursed. You don't. And then, oh my goodness. They were crying. And these are people from all sorts of different tribes, too, that normally wouldn't even get along. And now they're a sorority. Mm. And she's part of it. They accepted her. They wanted to get selfies with her. They wanted to hear more and more about her baby. They were riveted for days. And she was so blown away by that. She's like, I didn't know I could relate to someone like there's the scripture where they brought a blind man to Jesus and they said, why is he this way? Why? Where I was wondering why would we have this problem? And the Jesus answer is so that God can be glorified. I mean, all the things you went through with that little, with your little daughter, everything, look at this now. Look what God has done with that. Now all these women are going, I'm not cursed. God loves me. This woman's telling me that my kid's not a monster. God loves me. All of those whys, like in an instant, as soon as those moms meet, like, oh, now I know. You know you have weaknesses. We know that. You know that. When you actually divulge them, you think it's risky. Most of the time, it's really not. When you're vulnerable, people actually go, thank you. Thank you. Me too. The power of Me Too is amazing. I saw it. I mentioned how I just got back from the hospital in Uganda. All these moms with their babies that have hydrocephalus, so they're called monsters. The kids' heads are very swollen, and they're going to die unless something happens. But they're all told they're cursed. They're all told they're not wanted. They need to be out of the village. They're disgusting. Get away. We don't want the curse to rub off on our kids. Goodbye, mom. Usually the dad leaves too. Dad takes off and these women are abandoned. So they're all sitting together. They come to this hospital because they hear about it. And they're all sitting there in the waiting area looking at each other and seeing another kid with a big head. Mm-hmm. And that lady's got a... And I asked Dr. Worf, the neurosurgeon there who started this hospital. I'm like, what's that like? Because he's like, they're all coming from different tribes. They normally don't talk to each other. They can hate each other, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I said, what's that like when they first sit down in that waiting room and see other kids? He said... Instant sorority. Mm. Instant. And I was walking by the children's ward and I heard this noise coming out and it was singing. And it was festive singing with clapping and stuff. I walk in the children's ward and it's all these moms and the nurses and they're all singing together and clapping and singing praise songs. Mm. And there's all these big-headed babies lying on their beds. And there's people literally up and dancing and singing. Yeah, there's something about Me Too. Mm-hmm. So if you can go, yeah, I'm weak. Sometimes I wonder if God even loves me. Sometimes I struggle with this. Sometimes I don't feel very Christian or whatever. I know I'm a sinner. I've got, yeah, me too. Me too. Thanks for saying it. Instant fraternity, instant sorority. Saying I'm sorry and really meaning it is so rare, and not qualifying it, not putting in the kind of thing. Well, I'm sorry you were offended. I'm sorry you. No. I blew it. I was wrong. And then taking action to set things straight is so rare. But there is an article about a guy. I don't know if you saw that, Sherry. Mm. He was involved in the Charlottesville demonstrations. He was a white supremacist.
Okay.
And he's completely repudiated it. And he said, I just want to say I'm sorry. I apologize. I know I've spread hate and discontent through this city immensely. Now, again, when you say you're sorry, you can also say, what did you do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So that you fully understand.
Yeah.
Not blaming anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I probably made little kids scared to sleep in their own neighborhoods.
Wow.
Like I'm understanding who I am. And now he's having all his tattoos removed. It's a long, painful process.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, that's the word in the Bible is repentance. When you rethink and you allow yourself to go, oh my goodness, I'm wrong. What have I done? It's so rare. When somebody finally does it, because everything, we marshal our energy to justify ourselves and to stop that process and go, you know what? I'm just wrong and I'm going to change now. Yeah, it's back to school. So if you're a student, you're like, oh, I'm getting smarter. I'm getting really smart, actually.
You think that's what kids think when they're
Back
to school?
I know what I'm talking about. My parents, they don't know what to talk about.
Well, yes, that.
Yeah. Every single thing my mom said is true.
Good point.
Every disagreement we ever had, I'm just following. The rest of your life, honestly, is just a sequence of finding out that you were wrong in every disagreement. I remember one, I put on my headphones
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have a Sony Walkman, neither did you. We had the knockoff.
That's correct, yes.
But I would listen to music while I was doing, whenever I would sit down to actually do homework.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, that's not helpful.
Yep.
And I would argue that it is. It keeps me awake and alert.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ask me what I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Bon Jovi. But the point is, I thought it would help me focus.
Yes.
And lo and behold, in the news today, the study about what kind of music really helps you focus, the answer is silence.
Silence helps you focus. All right. Another win for in the mom column.
Mom wins again. Getting kind of tired of it, to be honest with you. My mom listens to the show, too. So.
As does mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys.
You're right again.
We're right again. Sorry. Sorry we said that stuff. We were wrong. Some people believe in righteous anger that humans have. We talk about this occasionally. It's always righteous in your head. So please know that. Like when you say that, well, my anger is righteous, please know that's everybody's answer. I guarantee it's this guy's belief too. I don't know if you saw this. A restaurant in Maine changed their French fries. They went from crinkle fries to the straight fries.
Okay.
He got belligerent. I guess a lot of people got angry about it. And the restaurant owner had to post a thing like, hey, we're sorry, but this has made financial sense for us. This guy was actually thrown out after he threatened to fight the owner.
Over crinkle fries?
When he was asked to leave after becoming disorderly and belligerent over the crinkle fries. They changed it.
Okay.
But in his head, I guarantee he's justified.
That's it.
Yeah. I guarantee he can be completely sober-minded and be like, yeah, but you know what? I ordered what I ordered and I expected this and you're changing it. That's basically you've invalidated a contract that's implicit and you know you're not living up to the agreement. I guarantee it in his head. He's being wronged, and therefore his crinkle fry anger is completely
righteous.
He's absolutely
That's
righteous.
That's why we can't trust. I know I can't trust myself.
Exactly.
I need counsel for someone to step in and be like, okay, you're taking the crinkle fries too seriously.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, not only, yeah. Like someone to say, do you, like right outside the restaurant, what was that about?
Yes.
And you'll try to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's not righteous. Never heard about this in my entire life. Maybe you have. It's weird. It's like I saw this news item like, yeah, 35% of us text in our sleep. And so you know how you when you text in your sleep, you just
text
like what? That's what I said. I'm like, who
what's that what? About?
And they're acting like it's normal. Like, you know, you ever notice how we're always texting in our sleep? No.
I did not notice that, sir. So what is it?
It's just 35% of us text in our sleep. The conversation, which is mostly gibberish, starts when our phones start beeping or buzzing when we're asleep.
Okay.
And we go into autopilot and return the text. I've never heard of this before in my life.
So you actually pick the phone up and text?
While you're asleep and text back to somebody, and it says it's usually, it can be gibberish, but oftentimes it's not. Men usually text back about food.
What?
For instance. Yeah.
Sleep text. No, I've never
think
heard of that.
I just think it's funny whenever there's a take like that. Like, yeah, we all do this, and you turn like realize, we don't.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
You ever notice how you're always driving 110 when it's like, no? No, sir, we don't. A question. What would cause somebody to completely change on something? They've dug in their heels. They've spent their life behind something, organizing for a cause that's actually evil. What would cause somebody to go, oh, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm dropping my sign, I'm dropping my torch. I am changing. I'm getting my tattoos removed. This is what this guy did. He was in the Charlottesville, whatever that was,
mm-hmm.
Where he was carrying torches, he's white supremacist. He completely dropped it all.
Mm-hmm.
He was an organizer.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped it all. What would cause somebody to do that? Because people don't usually work that way.
It's so rare.
It's so rare that someone would do that. Well, if you guessed relationship, you're exactly right. It's always relationship. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for that element in this story because I know, and we've talked about this before, like ultimately if you want to convince somebody of something, it never works to just argue.
Mm-hmm.
It's always relationship that finally turns their intuition a certain direction where they can go, maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking for that in the story. And then a few paragraphs in, and then he made friends with a black pastor, ..
Yeah.
And the rest of the story goes on. Somebody who wasn't turned off to him, it still believed in him, even though everything he held and believed was repugnant and insulting. And then there's somebody that's like, I'm going to do a relationship with you anyway. And that's what changes people. Always. It's always relationship. Tell you what, there's nothing like the hope of a new school year. There's so much hope.
Hope for what?
Well, the hope for me was organization. Because I just
yes, you got that. Yes, trapper keeper. It's not really a trapper keeper because we couldn't afford it.
Bam, it's a knockoff third rate trapper keeper. It's slightly misspelled trapper keeper,
yes,
like
right.
One P, one E, not quite right.
Kepper.
But yeah, I would write down at the beginning, like in high school, I'd write down like, okay, first hour this, second hour that, and yeah. There's all the tabs and the color thing, and it's like a calendar layout, like, okay, there's when the marching band has practiced,
so
and get
true.
It all organized. And
how quickly does it go downhill?
About 7 minutes before it's a complete disaster.
You couldn't hold it for a day?
I don't remember ever looking back at it. That's my problem is I get all amped about organization, and I don't look at the thing I just did.
Okay.
I usually lose the trapper keeper within seconds. Hi, it's time for a little advertisement in our podcast, a little commercial. Hi, my name is Ray Hansen. Sherry is here too. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I saw this thing from Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It says they're testing, the headline says they're testing ads.
Okay.
So between shows, you'd go from show and then an ad and then a show.
Oh, come on.
I know. But Netflix wants to do it, and they're ads for other shows.
Oh, okay. Other shows on Netflix.
Okay. But here's what they say. They won't use the word ads. It says, we are testing whether surfacing recommendations between episodes helps members discover stories they'll enjoy faster.
There's
a whole lot of euphemism going on there. That's the one I wanted to seize on, that we're surfacing recommendations.
Okay.
Because that you could say it about every ad.
That's true.
We're just surfacing a recommendation that you use Crest.
What ad? No ad. Let's not use them. That's not an ad.
So I can't surface a recommendation? All right. Man. Anyway, I would like to surface a recommendation for Sherry's book.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's really
That's
good.
That's nice.
It's
I really appreciate good. That.
The reviews are very strong.
The reviews
so
have been good.
You're helping
thank
members
you.
Discover stories they'll enjoy faster by surfacing it. If you're interested, you can go to BrantHansenPublishing.com. It's called .net.
Mm-hmm.
BrantHansenPublishing.net.
Yes.
I'm clearly involved in the
right in
the
in a day-to-day
a very granular level as a
we're surfacing recommendations
publisher. It's
yes.
called I Want to Punch You in the Face But I Love Jesus, and it's absolute genius.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So yeah, if you haven't got it yet, you should. People love it because it's so good. Speaking of surfacing recommendations, movie you watched on the plane, Whiplash is the name of it.
Whiplash, it sounds familiar. Who was in it?
Yeah, I don't nobody that okay. I've ever heard of.
The name sounds familiar. Okay.
They spent about $7 on it.
Seriously?
It's great. Huh. It just reminded me too, it's all about the story.
Yes.
It's always a story. There's no special effects, really. So it's a story about, and I don't know where the spoiler line is. I never understand that. But you should, it's great. Now, the plane version, I could tell they had changed some of the audio. I think there's some strong language in it.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Because like there's a guy and he's a professor at a school for art in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he's brutal on his students. He mocks them. He's a jazz professor.
Okay.
So he has a couple levels of jazz band. It's the top students in the country. You know, it's the top music school in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just brutal and he just unloads on them verbally. And I don't think he was saying, you ferret weasel, I'm going to... But he actually said that in the thing.
Okay.
Like,
I don't think... He said, ferret weasel.
You flipping ferret weasel. And at some level, I like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you get it, you're like, boy, the language was intense.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see it
right.
that way. But it's a guy who's a freshman, and he's kind of aloof, and he goes to this school, and he's a drummer, so he starts off playing drums.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing starts off with he's playing drums, jazz drums, by himself, and then this professor walks in, and he's like, whoa, and he stops. He said, I didn't tell you to stop. And so he starts playing again, and he said, I didn't tell you to start either.
Oh.
And everything the guy does is wrong, and this guy is, he lords over everything, and he says, okay, go ahead and play the start of this song, you know, this well-known jazz. And he starts, and he looks up, and he's gone. And the guy comes back, like, oh, I forgot my hat. He had nothing to say. He's just brutal.
Okay.
He just reduces people to blood and tears and sweat and all the musicians.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you hate him. So that's the course of the movie, is this guy who's aloof, or this young guy who's trying to find his way in the world,
mm-hmm.
and trying to, this guy's making him get better and better and better. He's bleeding over the drums. He's got blisters. He just wants to make this guy happy, and he can't. And towards the end, and this isn't a spoiler because there's more that happens, but towards the end, the guy's like, that's what I was trying to do, was to get you to be great. The professor's ultimately kicked out for his...
Brutalness.
Okay. Again, not a spoiler because there's more. But you see, that's what he wanted, was to elicit greatness. And sure enough, these musicians were incredible. They'd gone on to Lincoln Center. They'd gone on, you know, to First Chair with Wynton Marsalis. They'd gone on. But he had seen something in this drummer, and he knew that the only way he was going to get to Charlie Parker level or Buddy Rich level in jazz was like to be brutalized by somebody who had ridiculous standards. And all in all, it was just a brilliant movie. And again, it spent like $7 on it. It's genius.
I gotta look it up.
Oh my goodness.
Sounds good.
You'll really enjoy it. Does it sound good?
It does, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, music, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you'd like it too, just about... There's something there. This is an extreme example, but there's something there about bringing out the best in in men in particular.
Yeah.
By coaching.
I was going to say, when you were talking about it, it reminded me of how my brother felt about his coaches when he was in high school. And that's how he felt.
Yeah. And there's something about being called out.
Yeah.
To be great.
And ultimately, it was endearing, at least for my brother with his coaches, it was.
Right.
That you cared enough. That's what it felt like to him. That there was a level of concern and belief in him that you're treating me this way because you believe.
It's very countercultural because you're supposed to be about feelings and not have a bigger picture.
Especially now.
It's only how do you feel? Oh, you feel that way? Regardless of what the actual trajectory should be for a human to flourish. We just acknowledge whatever your feelings are. Oh, you're 11 years old and you feel okay. Then fine. No. Like you have something in you that's better than that. And so that is very countercultural. And this guy honestly couldn't get away with what he was doing in the movie for 30 seconds. But there's real truth there about calling out greatness from people and the talent that they've been given, and just affirmation is not going to do it. Have you ever met anybody that's famous or like a big time celebrity or anything? I've met a lot of them. I know Sherry has because of our job.
Oh yeah.
You run into people that are like really, really whatever, big stuff, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. But I've never had a brush with greatness like I had a couple days ago. I mean, actual greatness. So I was at the hospital in Uganda. Usually, if a kid's born with some kind of a disability, the dad leaves. I mean, almost always. Because he's like, well, this didn't happen on my side of the family, so it must be your fault, Mom. And men being men have this ability to just walk off. And I'm not implying that we're just messed up. I just mean women have this bond, usually with their child, that's a physical thing that the men don't share quite like that. He sees a disability. He's like, I'm out of here. There was one man in this whole ward full of babies that have hydrocephalus, so they have this obvious disability. This giant head, little kid, tiny body, giant head, and he could die, and he's considered a monster, and this kid's name is Nelvin. All these women in there, except for Nelvin, who has his dad there. His mom left him. This is very rare that the dad stays around. And we asked him, we talked to him, like, well, why did you do that? He's like, well, everybody around me said I should leave him, but he's my son. He's my son. So Stephen's not disowning him. Stephen had to give up his job. He was a driver, not making any money, but just, you know how it is in a developing country. Now he's got no job. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what the next step is, but he's got this little one that everybody else called a monster that he decided, no, he's my son. He's not a monster, and he's not leaving. No matter what anybody says. And that is greatness. I told him, like, hey, you know what? In America, we got Superman and Iron Man and Batman. And man, you're the hero. I have coffee news. Brace yourself for this. If you drink a lot of coffee, I have news for you. I was sitting at dinner the other night. Just mentioned I got back from Uganda. I was at the Cure Hospital there. It's a neurosurgical thing. But anyway, a friend of mine who's a brain surgeon. He's from Harvard, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. Sitting across the table, and I asked him about coffee. This guy understands the human brain and the nervous system. This is what he does. He's been trained, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I asked him, what do you think about coffee? Is it good for us or bad for us? He says, oh, it's good for you. He said 5 cups a day probably is no problem. In fact, it's probably pretty good for you.
What?
Yes. And I was like, thank you, sir.
Okay, got it.
That is good to hear. And I said, that affirms me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear it.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If that same surgeon from Harvard said to you, it's terrible for you, you cannot, should not have it, would we be talking about it on the show right now?
I would
now?
Say, you elitist from Harvard, how dare you?
In you no would way. Become instantly hostile.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Because it didn't affirm me. But you guys, a Harvard guy says, go for it.
Have Woo! Another cup.
Woo!
Yeah.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.